One afternoon, according to an old Sufi tale, Nasruddin and his friend were sitting in a cafe drinking tea and talking about life and love. "How come you never got married, Nasruddin?" his friend asked. "Well," said Nasruddin, "to tell you the truth, I spent my youth looking for the perfect woman. In Cairo, I met a beautiful and intelligent woman with eyes like dark olives, but she was unkind. Then in Baghdad, I met a woman who was a wonderful and generous soul, but we had no interests in common. One woman after another would seem just right, but there would always be something missing. Then one day I met her. She was beautiful, intelligent, kind, and generous. We had everything in common. In fact, she was perfect." "Well," said Nasruddin's friend, "what happened? Why didn't you marry her?" Nasruddin sipped his tea reflectively. "Well," he replied, "it's a sad thing. Seems she was looking for the perfect man." Like Nasruddin, we're always trying to find perfection outside of ourselves. And yet it is not quite enough to say that we only have to look within. For all of us exist in the relationship to something or someone else. Bertrand Russell once wrote that love is the source of the most intense delights that life has to offer. It's also the source of much of the unhappiness and frustration that life has to offer. Loving another person awakens the heart and lifts us beyond the narrow confines of our self-interest. But loving another person can also bring with it the pain of attachment, possessiveness, love not returned, and all the rest of it. Love is a two-edged sword. The same qualities that go to make up a fulfilling relationship, qualities such as love, commitment, forgiveness, surrender, and honesty, are also the qualities that contribute to our spiritual growth. The nature of our spiritual lives is reflected very much in the quality of the relationships we have. In this way, they become an accurate mirror. The people we spend most of our time with, who know us the best, can give us immediately and usually reliable feedback about our own lives. Marriage brings spirituality down to earth and into our homes. The care and love we give to each other is actually the heart of spirituality. Since there's no separation between us, to give is to receive. As the Beatles sing, "The love you take is equal to the love you make." Even when couples set out without any spiritual goal in mind, they often find that the very dynamics of making a relationship work tend to promote or bring forth spiritual values. Stage one is the romance stage. An underlying assumption is held that the positive feelings are the basis for the relationship. Partners often secretly feel that the relation exists for their pleasure and comfort, but they must keep him or her happy to reap those rewards. This is a sort of mutual admiration society which develops and pays attention to the similarities and ignores or denies the differences between the partners. The good news about this stage is that couples begin to develop an emotional bond or trust and a common vision that can sustain them later on when the going gets rough. The bad news is that they may become so attached to the apparent security of romance that they deny many of their real feelings in order to keep the peace. Stage two is a power struggle where differences begin to emerge, resulting in feelings of being less in control of the other and often less in love. During this period, partners often feel competitive with one another. The good news about this stage is that couples usually realize they can survive the recognition of their differences. The bad news is that they may not like how it feels when they are different, and they may subtly punish the partner for causing disappointment, or try to dominate, overpower, or simply change each other, which is always a futile effort. Some couples never make it beyond this stage. Stage three is the stability stage, where the couple discovers that the power struggle is actually a reflection of unresolved conflicts within each of them. Thus, they begin to get an idea that a relationship can be a source of learning about oneself. They also find that when they're able to communicate about their differences, they eventually come to see these differences from a new and expanded perspective, a perspective which includes his viewpoint as well as hers. The stability stage provides a first glimpse that a relationship can foster spiritual growth and mutual discovery. Stage 4 is the true commitment phase, where couples realize that not only do I need you to help me expand my perspective, but also my very being in some way is interdependent with yours. We recognize ourselves as part of a vast, interconnected network where everything we do affects everything else. If we each act to develop the uniqueness of others, our own development will likewise be supported. Couples who stay together for this stage experience their mutual effects on one another. They also find that it's impossible to maintain an ideal image of the perfect couple. They are forced to deal with disappointment and surprises since these are inevitable. Eventually, they come to see these disappointments as painful but necessary lessons on one's own path to understanding. Stage 5 is the co-creative stage, where partners not only value the other as he or she is, but also they are able to apply this unconditional love of otherness to the world beyond them. Couples who have learned to embrace uncertainty, ambiguity, and change in their relationship can apply what they've learned in our equally uncertain, ambiguous, and ever-changing world. As couples work through these 5 stages, they discover that sincere interaction becomes valued over getting one's own way. The transition from security and control to growth and discovery is realized as we discover our capacity for love. For couples to survive the power struggle, they must have a sincere commitment and communication. Couples cannot resolve the universal issues of marriage, dependency and independency, dominance and submission, freedom and fidelity, without the security of knowing that the act of struggling over these issues will not in itself destroy the relationship. Deep commitment evolves over a period of time. The first and most critical step is to have the sincere intention to work with whatever comes up, no matter how difficult or threatening it may be. Working with whatever comes along is also being present with it, letting it touch you, meeting it with full attention and energy. This involves willingness and dedication to keep coming back to the present moment. It also means being there with the other person in any pain that your behavior might produce for him or her. The next step is going beyond the first allegiance to our own pleasure and needs. Going beyond the me-first attitude must evolve from a real insight into the stagnation that results when we hold back from giving ourselves more fully to the situations we are a part of. Having evolved through these first 2 steps, a couple may be ready to share and follow their destiny together no matter where it leads. Real marriage is the joining of heart, mind, and spirit at a very deep level. Marriage vows do not represent living up to some ideal. They are a celebration of the deep connection and a promise to be true to it. The notion of surrender is a tricky one in our culture. It brings up images of defeat and weakness. True surrender is something very different than giving up the ship. If a relationship is ever going to work in terms of life, in terms of supporting each other's well-being, we must surrender to each other. In the dictionary, surrender is defined as to give up possession of and power over. So surrender in a relationship means giving up possession of the power you have over the other. Now some will think, wait a minute, if I don't have possession of you and power over you, what's going to keep you around? Well, we really can't have a joyful relationship until we've removed all the reasons to stick around, all of the guilt and need and power plays. We should only stick around if the value is there. If we enjoy the adventure of life and joyfully support, acknowledge, and honor our partner. Surrender is a willingness to receive. Surrender is giving up control but not losing power. It does not mean giving up your power to another person. It is an act to increase your own power, because when you're willing to surrender and to receive, you are taking in more love, more independence, more freedom to be yourself, and more commitment to your partner. Hugh Prather suggests these ideas for how to argue in peace. He says, 1, sit down. Spiritual ears are strange birds. To open them, you must first take a load off your feet. 2, hear out the other person without interrupting. Interrupting tickles the underarms of the aura and causes a blinding glare, very much like being tickled pink. Therefore, if you interrupt, your spiritual eyes will not be able to look into the heart of the other person to see what he really wants. It will make you happy to see what he wants. 3, begin and end your remarks by thinking, I'd rather be happy than right. An ego clothed in righteousness stands upright and gazes arrogantly down on all. A nude ego always titters and runs, so by all means state your ego position. Get it out there where you can see it plainly, but remember, the only position that is right is peace. If your position is not extending peace, it must be wrong. 4, if at all possible, state each's opinion as a fear. Say what you're afraid of, because we're always more willing to give up fears than cherished opinions, even though inside every opinion that is causing a rift, there is a fear. It lurks there like white sugar inside commercial granola. So read the labels on your opinions. 5, close your eyes and remember your debt of gratitude to each other. Maybe you didn't mean to, but you've brought each other a very long way. Remembering love can never hurt you, but anger is mental constipation. The celestial laxative is 1 or 2 kind memories taken with every argument. Now remember several things the other person did that were gentle or thoughtful or made something happy. The first 1 or 2 will be hard to think of. But after that, the rapture of divine diarrhea will overtake you. 6, think of the gifts you wish to give the relationship, then open your eyes and share them. A relationship is more important than the issue. Being issue-oriented is as different from being people-oriented as leeches are from crystals. One sucks blood, the other carries light. Don't use this occasion to drain strength from the relationship. Let the outcome be the greater friendship. Therefore, make your gifts, your compromises, very specific so that they will have real value. 7, do not reconsider. You were more peaceful when you decided. Trust the state of mind you were in. Don't forget that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt when she looked back. But now salt has been found out. Today, if you look back, you might end up as a brown rice in somebody's stir fry. So don't be stirred up. Be at peace with this child of God. There's hardly any activity, any enterprise, which is started with such tremendous hopes and expectations, and yet which so regularly fails as love. So states Eric Fromm in The Art of Loving. He wonders why people are so unwilling to examine their failures, to get to the heart of the matter. Fromm views love as an art, and as such it requires the same sort of dedication and practice that one would expect to devote to any sort of art or craft. But most people don't see it that way. We think we should just know how to be loving and that our relationship should somehow work out on its own. Getting help from the outside is seen as a failure or a sign of weakness in the relationship, when in fact it can mean quite the opposite. The willingness to get help is often the first and most important choice in improving a relationship. Taking a weekend couples workshop or retreat can be a less threatening way to begin to work on your relationship. The Marriage Encounter Weekend is designed for married couples to examine their shared love and life through personal and private communication of feelings. Although couples meet in groups, they share their feelings about their marriage only with their spouse. Marriage Encounter is for people who are essentially happy in their marriage, but who wish to recommit to one another and strengthen the bond. Nathaniel Brandon proposes a 12-hour do-it-to-yourself relationship seminar. He has couples spend a day together entirely alone. No books, no TV, no telephone calls or computers. If they have children, they make arrangements for someone else to take care of them. No distractions of any kind are allowed. They are committed to remaining in the same room with each other for 12 hours. They further agree that no matter what the other person might say, neither will leave the room nor refuse to talk. And of course, there must not be any physical violence. They can sit for several hours in total silence if they like, but they must remain awake and together. They're free to talk about anything as long as it's personal, so no discussions about business or the kids' schoolwork or housekeeping details. They must talk about themselves or each other or the relationship. Having placed themselves in a situation where all other sources of stimulation are absent, they have only their own selves and each other, and then they begin to learn the meaning of intimacy. There's almost always a gradual deepening feeling, a deepening emotional involvement, an expanding experience of aliveness. More often than not, the day ends happily, but sometimes it ends with the realization that the relation needs more work if it's to endure. Even then, this is not a failure of the experiment, but a success. It is a success because the waste of lives in an empty marriage is a tragedy. For two people who love each other, but who do not know how to make their relationship work or how to communicate effectively, these 12 hours are priceless. Often couples will do this once a month and experience radical changes in the quality of their marriage and communication skills they never knew they had. A weekend experience like this can provide many helpful insights. As Sandra Way has said in her book, Loving Relationships, a partner will bring up all of your patterns. Don't avoid relationships. They're the best seminar in town. The truth is that your partner is your teacher and your guru. This side of the tape is your hypnosis side to listen to as you fall asleep at night or any time during the day where you can lie down and relax and enjoy this wonderful visualization for a successful marriage. Remember not to listen to this side of the tape while you're driving a car or operating any heavy machinery. So find a comfortable position and close your eyes. And imagine for a moment that only two things exist in the universe. The space occupied by your body and the sound of my voice. And focus your attention like the beam of a flashlight on the sound of my voice. And imagine that a warm, gentle ray of sunlight shining down at the top of your head, relaxing the muscles of your head and your hair and your scalp. All of those thousands of tiny little muscles just relaxing and letting go. Feel that warm sunlight shining on your face, relaxing your forehead, your eyebrows and your eyelids, your nose and your cheeks and your mouth and your chin. Your tongue relaxing and even the bottom of your tongue relaxing, and it feels as if gentle fingertips were smoothing away every line, every wrinkle, every concern, and every worry. And feel that warm sunlight shining on your neck and your shoulders, melting away all of the tension and all of the stress. and all of the problems and worries and concerns that you've been carrying around. Just feel them melting away from you right now. It's okay to put them down for a while, and you can pick them up later if you need to. And let that warm feeling move through your shoulders and your upper arms, through your elbows and your forearms, your wrists and hands and fingers. And notice how warm and relaxed your hands have become. Feel that warm sunlight shining on your chest and warming your back, relaxing every muscle, every system, every organ of your body, relaxing, completely relaxing. And let that warm feeling move through your waist and your hips, your thighs, and your knees, your calves and ankles and feet, and even moving up through the ends of your toes. That wonderful relaxation coming into each and every cell of your being. That beautiful healing white light to dispel all negativity, all worry, and tension, and stress, all problems and concerns, all fears, and frustration, and annoyance, all regrets from the past, and all apprehensions of the future. Dissolving all of those things from each and every cell of your being and turning them into a fine mist or vapor, and allow the white light that is within and all around you absorb that mist in the same way that the sun absorbs the dew on the grass. And you are sinking deeper and deeper into hypnosis. Deep, relaxed hypnosis. And I want you to imagine as vividly as you can the scene I'm about to describe. And I want you to pretend that you're walking along the beach and it's mid-July and it's very comfortable. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The sun has not yet begun to set, but it's getting low on the horizon. The sky is a brilliant blue, and reflecting the blue of the water and the sand is a dazzling, glistening white in the sunlight. Feel the cold, wet, firm, hard-packed sand beneath your feet. Taste and smell the salt in the air. And hear the far-off cry of a distant gull as you continue to walk. And you stop for a moment right where you are. And you look back over your shoulder at the way that you've come and the path that you've taken. And you notice that all of your footprints have been erased by the water lapping against the shore. That they've all served their purpose to bring you to the point where you are right here and right now. So every problem and frustration that you've been through has served its purpose. Every triumph and success that you've been through has served its purpose. Every self-defeating behavior, every self-imposed limitation, has served its purpose, because it's all worked together to bring you to the point where you are right here and right now. And so you keep the lesson and let go of the experience. Let go of the negativity. Let go of everything that holds you back from any way, whatever may be there in the past. You let it go. You keep the lesson and let go of the experience. And it happens as easily as the water lapping against the shore and carrying those things far out to sea and far away from you. And when the water returns to the shore, it is clear and pure, and your entire being is filled with that clarity and that purity. Each night as you fall asleep at night, you write your partner's name in the sand, and you attach to it all of the things that you want to let go of. Any resentment, bitterness, any anger, whatever it is, you attach those situations and all of that emotional charge to your partner's name. And then when you're ready, you allow the waves to lap against the shore and to carry these things far out to sea and far away from you. And when the water returns to the shore, it's clear and pure, and your entire being is filled with that clarity and that purity. You do this as many times as it takes for things that have happened during this day or in any day from the past. And you also include other people where you feel a conflict of any kind. People from the present or the past. And you can also include things that create a sense of apprehension for the future. Whatever it is that you want to let go of, you write down a person's name or a key word, and you attach to it all of the fears, angers, all of the emotional charge that is there. And then when you're ready, you allow the waves to lap against the shore and carry these things far out to sea and far away from you. And when the water returns to the shore, it is clear and pure, and your entire being is filled with that clarity and that purity. For as you look forward to the future, the way that you will walk and the path that you will take, you notice that the sand in front of you is also clear and pure, that there are no footprints that you have to follow. You are completely free to chart your own course and to choose your own way, that nothing from the past has predetermined the future. And notice what a sense of freedom that brings you. The freedom to create the relationship that you've always wanted. The freedom to be the kind of person that you've always wanted to be. And you realize it all happens one small step at a time, one small decision at a time. In your mind's eye, you see how good things are happening in your marriage. You see these unfolding right before you, that the communication and honesty is at a level deeper than it's ever been before, and it happens without effort or stress or without force. Rather than making things happen, you allow things to happen. You find that you accept and you love your partner, for he or she, for whoever they are, and for what they are not. And you find such an overwhelming sense of forgiveness that cleanses and renews and makes each day an exciting new adventure. And if you ever feel that this feeling of being totally relaxed and totally in control is ever leaving you, you can bring it back in an instant. You merely take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. Slowly release it and say, relax, be at peace. And your body becomes totally relaxed. All tension and stress just melt away, as an ice cube would melt on a hot sidewalk. And you make an okay sign with the thumb and finger of your right hand. And when you do this, your entire being is filled with calmness and confidence and deep inner peace. Relax once more and know that every time that you do this, that sense becomes even stronger for you, for all of life is nothing more than a series of small decisions, and in each decision, you are choosing health and you are choosing life, and you are choosing the very best that life has to offer. And how good that feels. How very good that feels. And in a moment, I'm going to awaken you by counting from 20 to 1. If you're listening to this tape at night, you'll ignore the rest of these directions and slip into a wonderful, peaceful sleep, awaking in the morning refreshed and relaxed and energetic and truly happy about the day ahead. But if you're listening to this tape during the day and it's necessary for you to attend to other things now, you will listen as I count from 20 to 1. When I reach the number 1, your eyes and your head will be clear, and you'll be filled with happy, positive, constructive thoughts and a full determination in knowing that this therapy is working for you. 20, 15, 10, your eyes wanting to open and your body wanting to stretch. 5, and 1, wide awake, alert, alive, and feeling better than you've ever felt before.